For our scripture reading, turn to three different passages, the same story. We take note of some of the differences, put together the things that are stated in the different narratives, both in Matthew, Mark, and then also in Luke. We start with Matthew 8. Matthew 8, we'll start reading at verse 18. See the context there, but we'll be talking specifically about verses 23 to 27. But we'll start at verse 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And then we turn to the book of Mark, and there we read of this in Mark chapter 4. We'll start at verse 26, but we're considering especially starting at verse 31. We'll start at verse 26 of Mark 4. And he said, So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the sea should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, Carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And then now we turn lastly to Luke 8. There we read just verses 22 to 25. Luke 8, verses 22 to 25. Verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? They, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. So far we read from the Holy Scriptures this evening. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we're familiar with this story. We think of how the disciples were afraid to be out on the water during a storm. Maybe some of us have been out in the water in a storm. Have the water crashing up against the boat and filling the boat, that they were afraid. And then Jesus is awakened. He says, Peace, be still. There's a great calm. And what he says to the disciples, Where's your faith? Why were you so fearful? We can apply that to ourselves in our own life. In the providence of God, there are sometimes storms. There are things we go through in our own personal life. Maybe some things others aren't even aware of. There are things we go through, trials we go through as families, difficult times as a church, churches, the church in the past, the church today. The Bible speaks of the great tribulation in the future. There are difficult times, and there's times when we're afraid. Times when we're fearful. Our Lord tries our faith. And we know that. And we know that our Lord teaches us we're to look to Him. We're to hear our Lord say, Fear not. trust in the Lord. Look to Him. The Lord is with you. We think of the disciples. Well, the Lord was with them. Well, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with us. We know He is with us. He will guide us. And we are constantly to look to Him in whatever it is that we face. The Scripture speaks of two different storms where the disciples were in a boat and there was a storm. There's this one that we read of here where Jesus is with them and He's asleep in the boat. Another one, as you recall, is when Jesus is not with them and then He comes walking on the sea. This time we consider the one where Jesus is with them and He's asleep in the boat. And they come to Him, "Master, Master, we perish." And Jesus, when He arose, He rebukes the wind and the raging of the sea, and there is a great calm. There's instruction here for us. There is comforting instruction here for us. There's instruction here about fear. And we look at first place, the fear. And then we think of ourselves. At times being afraid. Sometimes our children are afraid. There can be times. Maybe we're not quick to recognize it at times. But there can be times that our children are afraid. There's something that they're nervous about, something that they're anxious about. Same is true of us as we're older. And the children may not be aware of it. They may not be aware of the fact that Dad's afraid. There's something that's on his mind. He's afraid of something. The children don't even see that. Or maybe they recognize there's something that seems to be bothering Dad, but they don't know what it is. There are times when we're older that we have fears. And we hear what Jesus says. "Why are ye so fearful?" We're to trust in the Lord. Our Lord, who we know is with us. Our Lord, who has authority. And in the second place, we look at that. They say, "What manner of man is this? He commands even the winds and the water." The one who is with us has authority. We look at that in the second place. And thirdly, looking at it from the viewpoint of the comfort that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We consider this passage under the theme, "Peace, be still." We consider, first of all, the fear, secondly, the authority, and thirdly, the comfort. First of all, with regard to the fear, the different narratives refer to it a little bit differently. We read that in Matthew, we read a great tempest. There was a great tempest in the sea. And the word tempest comes from a Greek word that has the idea of a shaking or commotion. In Mark, it speaks of a great storm of wind. And in Luke, it says it came down into the lake. And the scripture says they were in jeopardy. Now, to be in jeopardy, that means to be in danger. The boat was filling with water. The ship was covered with the waves. And Mark says the boat was now full. Now we read that. It's good for us to think of being in that situation, where you're in a boat and there is a storm, a great tempest, a great storm, the water coming into the boat, and the boat being now full. The Bible speaks of such times elsewhere, in the Psalms, for example, about being on the sea and going up and down, and the men crying unto God in their trouble. That was the situation. So that they actually said, "We perish." They were in a situation where that's what they said. And during this time, Christ was asleep. He was asleep in the boat. Now we take a moment to bring out that Christ is a real man. He still is. He has a real human nature. Did not simply appear. It's not that he simply appeared to be a man, but he is really a man. He's God. He's very God. He's also a real man. He has a complete human nature, meaning a human body and a human soul. And he really was asleep. We read of what he had been doing in one of the narratives. We read about what he was doing and giving instruction. Now he's asleep. There's a contrast between him and Jonah being asleep in a boat. Recall in the book of Jonah, we read about storm, and we read about Jonah being asleep in a boat. Although there's a difference. Jonah did not have a good conscience. Jonah knew he was running away. Jesus was obedient. He was obedient unto death, even the accursed death of the cross. The disciples were afraid, and they come unto Jesus and they say, "Master, Master." They repeat that word, "Master, Master." Now there's other times where we read of a repetition. Sometimes God would say, "Samuel, Samuel," for example. Or Christ said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Here one of the narratives, and we read that they said, "Master, Master," here in Luke. And Mark adds that they said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" That's an example of how, you know, in Luke it says they said, "Master, Master, we perish." Mark adds that they said, "Carest thou not?" That we perish? They actually said that. At this time when they're afraid, they actually said that to our Lord. "Carest thou not that we perish?" Now there are times in our life when there are storms. There are times in our life when we're afraid. Could be during a storm of weather, or it could be in an earthquake, a hurricane. We recently have heard in the news about Hurricane Ida. And although we don't live near an ocean here, we recognize there still can be great storms here that can reach us here, have been in the past. At any time, there can be quite a storm or tornado. In some places, there are earthquakes. Some places, there are tsunamis. There are fires. We frequently hear about the fires, especially in the West Coast. Seeing of people sometimes trying to get out and they're looking around and seeing fire. As they look in different directions, they see fire. The difficulty of being in a situation like that. There are other difficulties that we face. There are health problems, battles with disease, where there can be a sudden injury. Suddenly things can change. All of a sudden we're injured. Or all of a sudden we find out that we have a certain disease. We can have financial difficulties that can be very quick. But all of a sudden we have a financial difficulty. Or it could be something that we wondered might happen and then it did. And then there's the ongoing battle that we have with our spiritual foes. They're really our enemies that continue to assault us. And as we rightly say in our creeds, we're so weak, we would not stand a moment. You and I are to confess that. I'm so weak, I wouldn't stand. Not a moment. And they keep assaulting me. They keep assaulting you. And we think not only of what is going on in my personal life or in my family, in your family, but we think of the difficulties that the church goes through. We think not only of the difficulties the church goes through now, but difficulties that the church has gone through in the past. There have been difficult times in the past. There has been fears, persecution in the past. And we read of that as we study church history. We think of the early centuries after the ascension. We think also of the time of the Protestant Reformation. There are saints persecuted in different nations. Indeed, the people of God will be persecuted. They may not put us to death. There may be the case that they're not harming us physically. And sometimes that may be the case that they are doing that, even putting God's people to death. But even if it's not the case that they're doing that to us, there will be mockery, there will be ridicule, there will be attempts to get us to go the wrong way. They will tempt us to do what is contrary to what our Lord tells us. We know that there is also going to be, in the future, a great tribulation. We think of difficulties we face now, not only we as a church here and churches, we also think of the difficulty that our brothers and sisters experience in other countries like Philippines or India, Myanmar, and in other lands, difficulties right now. We also think of the difficulties that will come. We think of what the scriptures tell us about the coming Antichrist and about the anti-Christian world power and the false church and the persecution of Christians. God is sovereignly controlling all things. We're not to fear. Jesus said to them, "Why are ye so fearful?" And whatever it is that we may fear, maybe we fear what somebody might say or do. Could be that one of our children, for example, has a fear of maybe what somebody, certain person that they may be afraid of for one reason or another, what they might say. Whatever reason it may be, we also can be fearful of things like that. Fearful of what this person may say, what this person might do. We're not to be anxious. We're not to be worried. We're to look to our God and to remember that our God loves us, that our Lord died for us, that our Lord is with us, and that the one who is with us is one who has all authority. All authority in heaven and on earth. And we turn to that in the second place. We read that Jesus commanded the winds and the water. He rebuked the wind, the winds and the sea, the raging of the sea. He said to the sea, "Peace, be still." He spoke to the sea, "Peace, be silent, be still." Rebuking the winds and the sea. Elsewhere in Scripture we read of God rebuking the Red Sea. That kind of language is used in Psalm 106. "He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so he led them through the depths as through the wilderness." Think back on the days when the Egyptians are coming after the Israelites, and they've got that barrier of the Red Sea. What are they going to do? God rebuked the Red Sea. It was dried up. And he led them through the depths. Here we read that he rebuked the winds and the sea. He stilled the storm. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now that also, we talked about thinking on what it would have been like to be in that ship at that time with the waves coming and the water coming into the boat and all the wind. Now, we hear Jesus says, peace, be still. And then there's a great calm. So one moment you're in this storm, and then the next moment there's this great calm. And then you think, Jesus, He just spoke, and the winds and the waves obey Him. What manner of man is this, they ask? By His word, Moses raised the rod of God. We read in the book of Exodus, Moses raised the rod. Christ simply spoke, and the wind and the waves obey Him. Our Lord is sovereign over all. Our Father is the Almighty Creator. Someone was to ask you, who is your Father? Well, you'd take them to mean they're talking about your blood father. But you would be accurate if you responded to that question that your Father is the Almighty God, the Creator of all things in heaven and earth. That's your Father. The sovereign Lord was all authority. And our Lord Jesus Christ, with regard to His divine nature, He is eternal God, co-eternal with the Father. What manner of man is this? Well, the one who spoke is God and man. A real human nature. In Matthew 28, He said, all authority is given to Me in heaven and on earth. Our God Father, who created all things, governs all things by Jesus Christ, our Lord. And He is with us. And He guides us and He upholds us. And He who is sovereign over all, in the providence of our God, there are sometimes when there are storms, and He stills the waves. And He teaches us, our sovereign Lord, lessons. We sing of this in the Psalms. When you study this narrative, this event in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's good to take note of how in the Psalms, the similar statements that are made in the Psalms that go with what happened here. For example, in Psalm 107, it says in verse 23 and following, Psalm 107, verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord, and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. He's the one that raises it. Here we're reading about how He says, peace, be still. But it also brings out, He's the one that raises the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Their soul is melted. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. You see how similar this is. And he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We note how similar that is to what we read of here. He commanded and raiseth the stormy wind. Why does God send evils? Why would he command and raise the stormy wind? He does send evils, our sovereign Lord. We do rightly say that. Sometimes people have hesitated to use the word sends. We use the word sends. In Lord's Day 9, he will make whatever evils he sends upon me. In this valley of tears, turn out to my advantage. We often quote, all things work together for good. And then there's that phrase, he'll avert all evil or turn it to our profit. Here, there's also the idea that he sends the evils. Our sovereign Lord, he sends them. He commands and raiseth the stormy wind. So he sends them. We who, by the grace of God, believe, we know that, and in our trials we do talk of that. Our God sends the evils. The word evil can be used to refer to that which could cause harm or injury. Sometimes we talk about doing evil with regard to sin, but the word also can have the word of that which could cause harm or injury, like an evil beast. You read of that term, evil, an evil beast, meaning that which could cause harm or injury. In such times when God sends evils, we think on our sinfulness, the weakness of our faith, the just judgment of our God. We think about what we deserve. We remember that we're not satisfying for our sins. Christ has fully satisfied. Our sin has been punished. Christ went through the agonies of hell. We know that God sends evils in His love for us. He teaches us our total dependence upon God. You know, we sang of that in the Psalm 2 that we just sang. By the billows heavenward tossed, down to dreadful depths again, troubled much, their courage lost, reeling, they like drunken men find their skill and power overthrown. None can save but God alone. We're totally dependent upon God. That we're in a situation where we need to simply look to God. None can save but God alone. Well, that is the way it is. At times of trials, we may talk more about our dependence upon God. We may come to our God, think of our great need. We see our own fearing and we recognize that we don't have perfect faith. We ask Him to strengthen our faith. We come to Him and we confess our sins. And we request forgiveness. We request the grace that we need. And God hears our prayer and grants us what we need for Christ's sake. What a comfort we have. What a comfort you have in your, as an individual believer. What a comfort we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We see the world, the difficulties the people of the world go through. When they go through difficulties, those of the world, those who walk impenitently in sin, they have no hope. When a loved one dies, who's been walking in sin, the unbeliever has no hope. It's by the grace of God that you and I have been saved. We were dead. He quickened us. He infused into us faith. We really do have it. The disciples were believers. Our Lord said, where's your faith? How is it you have no faith? They were believers. But as Jesus said, O ye of little faith. We have comfort. We have faith. And faith is both knowledge and confidence. We need God to keep strengthening our faith, directing us to think of our only comfort in life and death. We belong to Christ. The disciples in the boat with Christ belong to Christ. They were with Christ in the boat. And if someone was to look at it from that point of view and think, well, they had Christ right next to them. We have Christ in us. They also, members of the body of Christ. But when we think of Christ standing next to us, we're to remember He is in us. We're a member of His body. How could we perish? A member of the body of Christ? How could we perish? We're not our own. We belong to our Lord who died for us. We belong to our Lord who dwells within us. We belong to our Lord who loves us. Carest thou not that we perish? They really said that? Our Lord loves us. You know, we sing in the Psalms at times when one may think, has God forgotten to be kind? We do know He loves us. Our Father has shown us His great love for us. He sent His Son. Our Lord laid down His life for us. We do know He loves us. The Spirit works in us and assures us. We are conscious of the love of our God, and we are assured we have everlasting life. What a comfort we have at times when we think we might die. We have comfort. You know, at this point, they're saying, you know, they're looking and thinking, we perish. Well, it could be. It could be tomorrow that we were in a situation where one actually thought, we're going to die. One is in a fire, doesn't know a way out. One could be in a storm on the lake. One could be in a situation where they think it looks like we're going to die. But we believers who have comfort could rightly say it's looking like we're going to be with our Lord today. And we have comfort when a loved one is dying. A loved one who's a believer. We have comfort as believers when we're dying. And when a believer is dying, we talk to them. We often hear them express if they're able to speak. Sometimes they're often not able to speak for a while before they die. Sometimes that's quite a while. Sometimes that's not that long. But we remember times, we often remember times and talk about how they spoke of the comfort that they had and how they looked forward to going to glory. Jesus said, He who lives and believes in me will never die. So if we were in a situation where it looked like we were going to die, recently in the news, we were hearing about those that were in a plane that was hijacked 20 years ago, thinking it looks like we're going to die. And if we were a believer in such a situation like that, we'd say, it's looking like this is the day we go to be with our Lord. And we who live and believe in Christ never die. We have a spiritual, though in the body, if we die and go to the grave, we have spiritual life. We have everlasting life in Christ. And we depart and are with Christ in glory, and we never sin again. So that one could say in such a situation, it's looking like this is the last day we'll have that battle with sin. It's looking like it's going to end today. We have comfort in death. We have comfort in life. The Sovereign Lord is with us. The Prince of Peace gives us peace. He grants us what we need for Christ's sake. He'll be with the church. He'll be with your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. And as saints get older, and as they think about their children and their grandchildren and what they may go through, we have comfort knowing our God will be with them. He will uphold them. We're not to fear. Our Lord tries our faith. Our Lord loves us. We're to look to God to strengthen us, to strengthen our faith. Unmoved, we sing, we shall remain. Christ is in our midst. If Christ lives, we live. May we, in the trials we face, look to our Lord. Fear not. Trust in Him as adults, as children here, as young people here, in times when you're afraid. Fear not. The Lord is with you. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life for you. He loves you. He dwells within you. He'll grant you what you need. He'll hear your prayers. He hears us. He hears us as adults praying for you children, for you grandchildren, for our grandchildren. Oh, what a comfort we have in Christ. May we glorify Him. May we thank Him. May we show our love for God, loving one another, showing our esteem of one another. May we encourage one another, thanking God also for the communion of the saints. And may we together look to Him for what we need, praying to Him with confidence. that our Lord, who was with his people in the past, will be with us today, and we will be with his people in the days ahead. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God and our Father, we're so thankful for the comfort we have, thankful for the comfort our children have, our only comfort in life and in death. Lord, strengthen us in whatever trials we face today. Strengthen us, uphold us, young and old. We're so thankful that we know we've been redeemed. We know we belong to our Savior. May we glorify Thee, O Lord. We look to Thee. We confess. We're totally dependent upon Thee. There's nothing that we need that we can provide for ourselves. We look to Thee, O Lord, our God. Grant us the grace we need. Strengthen our faith. And may we live to the glory of Thy name. Is our prayer for us and for all of Thy people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.